Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Very thankful to be here this morning to worship and honor our great and glorious King, Jesus Christ, through the Spirit, being thankful so much for the Father, knowing all things, creating the heavens and the earth, and all that He has done for us. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, I'd like to come before you here this morning giving you thanks for creating us, giving us breath. Give you thanks for the opportunity we have to gather together in your name, for each one being here. Lord, I pray that as you give us strength and breath to go through this day and through the days to come, that our actions would bring you glory and honor. I pray that we would gain strength today to be a blessing to you and to just to give you honor and praise that you deserve. I thank you for your word and the truth that it is, that it's the same today as it was when it was written. And I pray that you would open it up to our hearts and our minds this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to look into the book of 2 Thessalonians. Actually, there's only the point of the focus is just three phrases in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but we have to kind of get there first. So I'm going to start in verse 1, but the three phrases that I'd like to get to this morning. The first one is love of the truth in verse 10. The second one is strong delusion in verse 11. And the third one is chosen you in verse 13. Love of the truth, strong delusion, chosen you. If you can, try to kind of keep those in mind as we go through the first part here of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the first few words there of verse 1 say, "Now we beseech you." Beseech is, I wouldn't say it's my favorite. Behold is my favorite King James word. I kind of like that, behold. But beseech, we're getting there. Beseech mostly means to ask, to request. Could mean to interrogate. It's a desire to entreat. It's an active request, so there's a little bit more behind it besides, you know, I'm asking you to kind of pay attention to this. He's saying, I beseech you. It's just a little bit more. I spent a little bit of time looking at the different words for ask, and this is one that's on the stronger side. So we also have the word we before that, and we look back at the beginning of chapter 1 and see that Paul, Silas, and Timothy are the we. So there's more than one person here. We see here in verse 5, Paul writes 1 Thessalonians. Well, he's not the only one. There's others here too. Paul and his companions, it says, when I was yet with you, you know exactly who is the I, at least Paul, but the others could have been there as well. So there's a group. I think that's important because it's also important to realize that this is a letter. Now, I've written a couple of letters, a few, probably less than 20 in my lifetime. I've known others that have written lots and lots of letters, but this is an actual letter. It's not a book. It's not a storybook. The 2 Thessalonians isn't a storybook. Sometimes I think, for myself, I can't really speak for you, but I lose the understanding or the realization that these are real people, real problems, real things to discuss, real things to go over. It's not an essay. It's not a commentary. It's not a textbook. It's a letter from people to another group of people that address real situations. Verses 1 and 2, the writers here, Paul and Silas and Timothy, they are writing to people who need encouragement. The encouragement is to not to be confused about the return of their God, Jesus Christ. Verses 3 to 7, and I will read these verses later, but I just kind of want to give a little bit of a few thoughts introducing it so that when I read it there, hopefully it'll help help it make sense, because I know sometimes when somebody reads, there are thoughts that go through your head and so on. So let's try to bring it together beforehand. Verses 3 to 7, Jesus, he says, will return after the falling away and that after the man of sin be revealed. The man of sin is a wicked man. Just to give full context here, in verse 4 it says, Paul and the others write, who opposeth, this is the wicked man, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this wicked man is putting himself above God. Verses 8 and 9 talk about once that time has come, that wicked man, or elsewhere as written, talks about him as the Antichrist, will be made known and destroyed, or as it's written here, consumed. The writers here tell us some of the attributes of that wicked man. That comes after Satan, has power and signs and lying wonders. It's something, somebody not to be taken lightly. So I'd like to, I guess, first of all, before I read it, the point that I received out of this chapter is verse 2, is to be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as that Christ, that day of Christ is at hand. Okay, not the encouragement to gain strength, to be strong, that as through times of difficulty, because as we read through here, there's some serious stuff going on, or that is going to go on, that Paul and Silas and Timothy are writing to the Thessalonians, some serious things here, and not to lose heart, but to gain strength. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, we read, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of the iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with brightness of his coming. Even him who is coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now we go on to verse 10. I would like to read verses 10 to 13 here. 10 through 13. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There are the things that are written here in this second chapter we need to know to help us not to fall for the deception of this wicked one. I would like to look more closely at verses 10 to 13, those three phrases. Love of the truth in verse 10, strong delusion, and chosen you. Love of the truth there in verse 10. It's written here of those that don't love the truth. That last half of verse 10 says, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Jesus is going to return. We read that here in the first part of the chapter. He's going to come back. He's going to come back in the right time, in the right place. The son of perdition, as it says here, is going to be destroyed as well at the right time, in the right place. And those who love the truth are going to be saved. Those here that are, as Paul and the others wrote, they wrote it the other way, that those that love the truth are not. But we know that those who love the truth will be saved. And I had to think of loving the truth. What does it loving the truth? Do I love the truth? How do I love the truth? Well, there are times where I'm going to say it's difficult to come out with the truth. I had to think of Jesus in his through the Gospels here. Jesus was confronted many times, and he had to come out with words of truth to people who were trying to end his life, trying to get him out of the way because he was standing in their way of their power. I had to think of Jesus' words to the people who wanted to, Jesus' words to the woman after the people who wanted to stone her for adultery, after they had all left, he had told her to go and sin no more. He had told the man who he healed a different man on the Sabbath day that was beside the pool of Bethesda to sin no more. There are times that are very difficult to stand true for the truth, to show love for the truth, but it is always going to win. The second phrase would be strong delusion. Strong delusion would be to believe a lie. Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? You can turn to John chapter 18 for a moment. In John chapter 18, we see where Jesus was brought before Pilate. Pilate was interrogating him, asking him some questions. Start reading in verse 33 here. It says in John 18, then Pilate entered to the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants fight then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest, I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate asked Jesus there, when Jesus confronted him with truth, what is truth? That's a question that people still ask today, is what is truth? But truth is the same no matter what I think of it. It doesn't, truth is what it is, and I can't change it no matter how hard I want it to be different than it is. It is. And Pilate here is confronting that point by asking the question, what is truth? And Jesus' answer, that was a Jesus' answer here to Pilate's question about who he was is, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. That is the truth, that his kingdom is in heaven and not here. Do I believe that? Do I believe what he also said here in the next part? Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Do I hear his voice? Or am I under the strong delusion of a lie? I'd like to read some verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. No matter what I think, truth is still truth, and I want to, as I believe each of us here, want to follow Jesus as the truth. But we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 what we do, or what happens with what we do that is not the truth. I'm going to start reading in verse 9. And read through verse 23. Here the writer of 1 Corinthians is Paul, and Sosthenes, it says there at the beginning of the book. In verse 9 here, they write, For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Every man's work is going to be tried. And when we build upon the truth, when we do not follow the lie, the strong delusion, then we will come out the other side. As it says here, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. All are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. And we see here the difference between truth and delusion. We have the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Where do we receive our truth from? Do we receive our truth from the Word of God? Or do we receive the truth from the worldly wisdom around us? The worldly wisdom around us sounds good. Is that the strong delusion he's talking about? I don't know. But it is something to be careful of and not fall into. The third phrase is chosen you. Who is chosen? Who is chosen by God there in 2 Thessalonians? You. Me. It's just that simple. God has chosen people. People are chosen. People are chosen to live forever. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes there, who, speaking of God, who will have all men to be saved. All men? That's seems to be a pretty encompassing there. There are many different supporting, verses to that thought, as well as in Acts chapter 10, Galatians, as well as Acts chapter 15, Galatians chapter 3. There's no special races or classes or people. God had a chosen people, the Israelites. And then from there, God's chosen people are all mankind, whether Gentiles or Jew. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about all should come to repentance. All coming to repentance. All men to be saved in 1 Timothy. And as well as in 1 John chapter 2, John writes in those first two verses there, My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world, all. That part here, these three phrases, love of the truth, strong delusion, and chosen you, are very encouraging to me. And I hope they would be encouraging to you as well. Just to take a moment and write on the board, I'm not really sure this is going to come across the way it does in my head, but we have you is more than you, just means everybody. We have you there in verse 13, and it says, chosen you to salvation. So we have salvation. So we have you in salvation, and how do we get there? How do we get to salvation? But there are some indication here in the end of verse 13. Paul and Silas, Timothy write that God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. and belief of the truth. So the way to salvation, according to the verse here, according to this passage that we read in 2 Thessalonians, is for people to get there is through the Spirit and through truth. Through the Spirit and through truth is going to get us through the difficult times that he has written about earlier, about that wicked man, the son of perdition. There's a lot of other things that are written about that in Scripture as well. We don't have time to go through all those, but I guess the point I really want to make sure I make very clear is that salvation, that peace that only Christ can give goes through the Spirit and through truth. To conclude, to sum everything up, I'd like to read verse 14. Verse 14 reads, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the end result. The end result, the goal. If you've ever been part of a, I guess, a game or an effort, especially by more than one person, but sometimes, you know, one person, you have to keep your eye on the goal. What are you trying to attain? And we see here that what we are trying to attain is we are already called. We talked about that through the gospel that Paul and Silas and Timothy present, to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're trying to attain glory to Jesus Christ by what we do. And he gives us the tools, the instructions to do that. And I really appreciate that. And that's where I came back to, again, to what did I get out of this chapter? Is to not be troubled and not to be soon shaken. And there's lots of encouragement here in the Scriptures, and I'm very thankful for it. And I thank you as well for your time here this morning.